Greetings. I'm Catherine Davis, host and producer of Heart of Mind.
Come to the river, meet me by the water. Come on and join me, I'll be waiting by the shore. Stand in a circle, with love and arms around. The mighty waters flow, and as the river unwinds, you'll see the turns of your life, the seasons that come and go, all of the answers to the questions of your soul are found in the water when the river takes control.
Heart of Mind is a program about spirituality. That was its primary focus from the beginning and has been providing and producing programs for going on, I'll say 25 years. I think it's more. And offering weekly discussions, interviews, and contemplation on what it means to be a spiritual being. My understanding of what that means has changed over the years, and I would say that in the beginning, I was primarily a seeker. Reading different texts, reading different books on spirituality, self-help, alternative healing, and interviewing renowned authors as well as purveyors of spiritual teaching. Simply looking for the truth. A deeper understanding of how to express oneself as a spiritual being. And I would say that a lot of that search arose from problems that I may have had in my life at different times, mostly with the simple struggles of surviving in a very controversial kind of world, but also out of a history of sadness and misunderstanding, an inability to understand how it is that the world became so frightfully toxic. Well, the more I search, the worse the world seems to get. the more people claim to be awake, the more asleep they apparently are. And so at some point, I came to an understanding, and the teachings are there, but I came to a real comprehension that this is an inward journey. Can't really be done from the outside. It's about one's relationship within oneself. One can only find peace within oneself. Take a moment and bring your awareness within yourself. The best tool for that is with the breath, with focus on the breath. Thank you. The truth is, as it seems, is that our language does not suffice to bring us into the true essence of our being. In this, I mean, how do we describe it? Spirituality, soulfulness, inner connection, greater understanding. None of these concepts seem to suffice to the magnitude of that coming into the fullness of our being. So I no longer see it as a connection to, a hearing from, but as a state of being. We are not fully a being, or are not fully a human being, or are not fully participants in the existence without allowing that truth of self to rise to the surface and express within and through this physicality that we call a body. Our bodies are very important. It is a temple. It is that which houses our true entity self within this realm that has the chemical, biological constituents to be able to operate in this world. Our bodies are really very, very important and are a great service to our being. Our bodies are an expression. In some manner, we've chosen this configuration of cells. And so in that regard, it is us. I would say that it's not the complete picture of whom we are as a being. So for me, that spiritual journey has led me in multiple directions. On the one hand, I recognize that I'm not the first to take these steps, and I can find great teaching, healing, wisdom in texts of prior civilizations. But at the same time, they would only be words, again, without the full integration of meaning. What do they mean, really? And I'm not entirely sure that the human biological entity has the equipment to fully take in the truth, the contextual, broader truth of human existence. There may be no way to know from this level of understanding the origins of humanity, but we can begin to fully understand this instrument that we have. When I say instrument, it's in recognition that we are in physical bodies according to the makeup of this realm, the physical, tangible, touchy, feely realm of existence. We have limited perception of our mind. We have limited perception of our hearing. We have limited perception in seeing. we have limited capacity in speaking. And I don't mean language or vocabulary, but vibrationally, I think I'm speaking of all these things. Dolphins speak. They understand each other, but we can't necessarily understand the frequency within which they speak to each other. And this is true of all the species on Earth. There is an interconnection in terms of the biological function of sense and communication organs and how it works within a group. And you could see this further extrapolated through cultures and how culture is in its way a language that children are influenced by and ultimately shape the state of their overall capacity, I'll say. Now, there are always some children born into the world with expanded capacity. And I think probably if we looked more closely, we would find that every being has an expanded capacity in some fashion, whatever that might be. And perhaps if we were able to be more welcoming and accepting, then we would be able to weave those capacities together into something quite magnificent for the human family. But in the meantime, we each have to do our own work. We each have to chart our own course, walk our own paths, come to our own understandings to the best of our ability. And ultimately, in order to do that, we need to turn away from all of the teachings, belief systems, whether they be wise or foolish, and really take the time to just sit and contemplate and to be aware, take note of what's going on within ourselves and within our world so that we can become more like the captain in a ship, the pilot of a plane, the cosmonaut traveling through space. It's upon each and every one of us to bring ourselves into that level of self-mastery. And self-mastery is not perfection. It is not knowing everything. It is not always knowing the right thing, but it's a way of moving through one's life and through one's experience with the openness to perceive and to be aware and to be able to evaluate what we see, what we're aware of, and allow that comprehension to help us to choose how we will live through this experience of life. My meanderings through the wisdom teachings, my travels, my study has led me to understand that the best way to comprehend our existence is through vibration. We live in a reality that is vibrational in nature. The physical part is the least important part. The expression of life and life energy, the expression of feeling and sensing, the capacity to think and emote, these are all vibrational capacities. Everything travels in waves. And while the waves are infinite in nature, in the nature of waves, we live in this narrow bandwidth that is characterized by a wave dense enough to produce physicality. But there is countless information available and in various forms of expression that we have no known way in our current belief system to connect with those vibrational waves. Multiplicity of intelligence, perception, expression, and being. The mechanism actually within our biology that allows us to bridge those blind spots are the mechanisms within our physicality that opens portals into these various levels of vibrational intelligence. And because we're living in such a level of density, we can come to realize that that narrow bandwidth within which we can perceive does not represent the totality of who we are as beings. Our beingness actually extends into these other vibrational existences that may potentially be very refined or potentially even representing more density than we experience here. So, with that understanding, we can begin to search our internal systems, mechanisms, and master from within how to extend our perceptual qualities beyond the limitation of our physical ears, eyes, mouth, nose. That narrow vibration within which this body can perceive is just a small fraction of what we have a capacity to perceive. In order to do that, we need to be willing to explore different vistas and go down narrow paths, dark paths, light paths, all along the spectrum of colors and sounds and smells and perception of feeling. And when I say that perception of feeling, we think of our hands as being the thing that touches and feels the environment. But our skin has a perception. Our feet have a perception. Each of our organs has its own perception. Our genetics has a perception. So there's so much that goes into our makeups, even before we get to the level of comprehending these things on a level of vibrational intelligence. So to me, that's the true journey. We are humans as humans have been for millennia of time. I'm not arguing the beginnings, you know, the narratives, but just to understand that whatever we have a capacity for, ancient civilizations had a capacity for. They may have not had the knowledge, but they had the same capacity. And just like ancient peoples had developed their capacities in unique ways, different from ours, we still have those same capacities. And it is a true adventure to be able to explore what we're capable of. And so in order to take this path, this exploration, we can only do that in great measure by detaching from all of the systems that bind us, that keep us in place, that limit the heights or the lows we may be able to travel, experience, based on what we're taught to believe. I was recently listening to a video that explained what it is about children that makes them so pliable, makes us pliable at that stage. Children have been documented to be born into the world with pre-birth memories, different kind of life experience memories that would not be possible for their limited experience in the current. But there's also something going on with a child's brain that from birth up till the age of about 7, our brains are not developed and we're in a deep programmable state. Our minds as small children are more akin to what our subconscious is in the adult life. And so children are very susceptible to what they're told and how they are inculcated with certain behaviors. And that initial capacity to be nourished and nurtured into something greater than they might otherwise have been is often lost because of these narratives and cultural habits that are passed down through living generations. I mean, it's part of coming to be able to survive in the world. So it's not wrong or bad. It's just what it is. But the good news is that initial capacity remains within us to be able to bypass the programming we might have received, the teachings, the habitual training as small children, back into that very fertile state of the infant child. And we can begin to re-nurture that state. It's like watering a plant. If you don't water a plant, it dies. And in many humans, that cosmic spark has either been left to wither or maybe drowned in some way by life experience. But it's there. And it is the portal, pathway, seed of coming to fruition as a true cosmic being. And by this, I mean having the capacity to expand our understanding of the existence and the different levels of existence, the different beings within those levels of existence, the different societies within these levels of existence, that while even they, many are physical at a different vibrational scheme. And we are interactive, which in many ways gives the upper hand to those beings that can move through the various textures of reality. But I would say, even though we may not immediately develop those skill sets to be able to move through these textures and levels of existence, we have the internal makeup. We've been provided this internal energetic, and even connecting with the physiology through the glandular systems, the blood, the energy systems, that can teach us to greatly raise our capacity, which would be great. A lot of fun, I think. But more importantly, raising this inner awareness, this inner capacity, provides for us the opportunity to be sovereign within this reality, so that we're not controlled and molded in perpetuity, that we can become fully mature in this space, to be able to navigate the pitfalls, emanate and create that which we choose to bring into the world, and to be able to communicate, commune with each other at a much deeper level, great depth and understanding, that we have the capacity to transform ourselves physiologically, to heal ourselves, to be able to use the hidden capacities of the mind to exit this physical space and enter another vibrational space and literally be there. So it's a wonderful and magical experience that humanity is destined for. And we have a tremendous capacity that may very well be that other beings don't have, this ability to translate and to move through, to come to such a deep awareness and understanding, despite the limitations that may be put forth because of the physical reality. We're not limited by it. We can transcend it. And we do it all the time. We just don't have a real understanding and language for what's happening. In many ways, this is where the discussion in this program, Heart of Mind, is going to take us. Thank you.
I see them smile through faces of people I don't know. I hear them in the music on my radio. Wisdom of the winds, faces in the clouds, rhythm of the rains, oh mountain standing proud. Prepare me for a special place. Tell me I've no time to waste. Challenge me to face my life's request. Encourage me to do my best. Everywhere I go and everything I see, flying in the air, speaking truth through me. I am a curious spirit child who fell to earth through a crack of lightning. But God, so kind and merciful, sent old souls to guide me on. Yeah.
Heart of Mind currently has a radio program over WBAI Pacifica Radio in New York, 99.5 FM WBAI.org and the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.live. Following is a brief excerpt from a recent interview in which I speak about Taoism, that philosophy that has been very enriching within my life.
Welcome, everyone. We are happy and grateful that you're joining us today. Our special guest is Catherine Davis. Catherine has 30 years of experience as a Qigong teacher and facilitator of meditation and energy healing systems. She offers training and certification in a number of Qigong forms, and she is the host and producer of Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium and the author of the forthcoming book, Harness the Natural Rhythms of Life. It's always such a pleasure to have these conversations with you, Catherine. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoy it myself. It's really wonderful to be able to have the conversation, but also feel that this conversation is expanded to the people who come into this summit. So that's really wonderful.
It is, isn't it? So although many cultures use similar principles in their traditional medicine and their healing work, Taoism is at the root of most Qigong that is practiced in today's world. What is the essential power within Taoist philosophy that makes it so relevant and beneficial in these times of uncertainty, transformation, and what some people experience as chaos?
Yeah, definitely. So Taoism is a very ancient practice. It's thousands and thousands of years old, and it started as a shamanic practice. Now, you notice nowadays, a lot of people are running off to the rainforest to try to find the shaman that's going to help them get in connection with their inner being. Well, Taoism has that power, and it flows through the whole practice of the traditional Chinese healing traditions. And that's Qigong, it's traditional Chinese medicine. It flows through the politics, or at least the earlier politics. It flows through the family and the lifestyle, relationships. But it's a way of understanding reality as a unified existence. And by following the path of Taoism, it helps us get back in touch with our own roots through that tradition to understand who we are in relationship to the earth, the cosmos, to each other, and to the relationship of change. And, you know, when you look at the yin-yang symbol, you know, you see the two teardrops with a circle in the middle. Well, those teardrops are not static, they're moving. So you're always moving through a sine wave. There's going to be peaks and there's going to be valleys. And that's just a natural part of life. It's a natural part of how the cosmos works. And when we can come to terms with that, we can begin to not resist that transformation that occurs and begin to flow with it, understanding what the peaks mean, what opportunities are there, and understanding what the valleys mean and what opportunities are there. And I think we live in a society that is kind of hell-bent on the immediate response. They want immediate response. They want permanent success. And sometimes when we resist those changes and force ourselves into some kind of mechanistic way of living, we lose touch with who we are as human beings, and we lose touch with our relationship to the earth, to the cosmos, and to all the systems of life. So I feel that by beginning to understand that natural rhythm, we can be so much more self-accepting and self-loving without the judgment, because the natural rhythm is part of being alive, and we can start to flow in harmony with that. And that's the real power for me in Taoism. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to know the whole Tao Te Ching, but to just understand that life has that rhythm. And when we can communicate with it and allow it to communicate with us, we can live our lives with much more contentment and satisfaction and self-love.
Wow, there were so many gems of wisdom that you just expressed to us. And one of them that really stood out for me was that there can be opportunities not only in the peaks, but in the valleys. And I think that you're right. Our culture is so focused on one aspect of that yin-yang balance, which has created imbalance, because when those valleys happen, there is some kind of opportunity. And a lot of people just want to get out of it instead of aligning with it and going with it. And that was just really, really a wise understanding there. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome. And the truth is, if we're paying attention, we don't get to fall into those sinkholes. We're watching the signs and we make adjustments, and then we begin to move and flow rather than constantly resisting and sinking deeper into a black hole.
Yeah. And I think when you do practice Qigong or Tai Chi or have a Taoist approach to life, then even when you do go into a lower space, the level of that low space is not as deep. You know, you don't feel like you're falling into a black hole. You feel like you're just riding a wave.
That is so, so true. And the other part of it is that our culture is obsessed with the light, I feel. And it's a beautiful thing to be in the light, you know, to have that sun energy, that yang energy, and to perceive of the light in that way. But we make the mistake of perceiving one as the right way and the other as the wrong way. So when we're looking at both facets of the practice of the yin, the yang, the light, and the dark, it's about being yang is out in the world and yin is internal. So it's about going into your internal space, communicating with the wisdom that's within you, and communicating with the wisdom of earth and cosmos, which in many ways you could think of as the dark.
Mm-hmm. Very true. So, you know, many Qigong practitioners embrace Qigong as a kind of a lifestyle. And it's a very interesting thing that happens to people when they get involved in Qigong practice. And I'm wondering if you could share with us your understanding of how exercises that combine breathing and various types of movement can lead people to a larger understanding of their place in the flow of life. How does that happen?
I think it happens on several different levels. You know, first there's just a physiological level of the deep breathing and the gentle movements. And what it does is it calms the nervous system. It deepens our capacity to breathe. And when we're breathing deeper, it regulates the circulatory system. In the movements that help to cleanse the lymph. So there's a lot of physiological benefits to doing these practices. And that's a really important thing. And that's kind of what brings people to it. But it also begins to entrain your whole system to be able to be more connected to what is life-giving. So we live our lives very often under such a tremendous amount of stress. And the Qigong practice or the Tai Chi practice, the Taoist practices, takes us out of the immediacy of the situation of stress and immediately takes us into a more fluid, response to it. And it's a lot like martial arts. I don't do martial arts, but a lot of the martial arts and some of the Qigongs are patterned after that. You don't go move into a blow. You move out of the way of a blow and let it pass you. And so you begin to engage with your relationships and your experiences in this way, that if something is coming to you that's stressful or potentially harmful, you don't have to move forward and start fighting with it. You can just let it pass you by. And as that happens, you're able to maintain your own inner equilibrium. And that way that your nervous system stays calm. And then you get into the habit of having a calm nervous system and being able to go into the silence without necessarily responding verbally and really let something settle in. What does this mean? And you begin to open yourself up so that you're not feeling attacked and then projecting. You're like, well, is the universe telling me something through this person? Is there a lesson in this experience? Should I retreat from this path and take another path? You know, so you begin to notice that the practices seep into your behavior and seep into your thinking, so that everything becomes sort of the art of living that practice. You don't have to be doing a movement to be able to have a conversation with a person on the street and let it be like the parring of Tai Chi or martial arts or Qigong, and understand that there's a deeper connection and deeper communication. And even if you're working with someone or talking with someone, you know they're in distress, you can elevate your vibration. And when we're elevating our vibration internally, nobody has to even know we're doing it, that energy rises above and creates a field around us. And then that field begins to calm the people around us. So it gives us an impact that's kind of silent, but very powerful, that it radiates from our person into the field around us, into the people around us, and everybody comes down a notch or two. And then you can begin to engage in a way that's more relaxed and more friendly. And when you're doing that, we're not taking things personally. So if somebody's very, very agitated, we could understand that agitation is a state the person is in. It actually has nothing to do with me. So how can I interact with that person that's going to bring this situation into balance? Just like we bring our body into balance, we bring our situations and our relationships into balance.